I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
I play video games.
News from the Blue Raid with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News from the Blue Raid.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Sound Wave 92, an action-packed show this week with me, JD, guest starring JD again. We're going to talk about StarCraft 2, XV, Peter, AKK, Bweebum, and New Rob. Hello, guys. How is everyone?
Hopefully not going to get dropped like my connection did last week.
Oh, no.
Probably will.
No, I think JD and New Rob have like all new fancy powered up modern 2011 internet connections this week.
Hopefully. Yes, indeed. And more RAM, so.
Oh, right. Okay, so.
We're RAM, partying like it's 2005.
We are. just a quick service note. If you're one of our most devoted viewers and you're listening live, watching live, hey, XV or somebody, post the Ustream link in the chat if you don't mind.
I checked the Ustream. I can't get the stream to come up over there either.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Moving ahead.
Never fails.
It never fails. But that video on New Soundwave always fails. So this week, we're going to talk about StarCraft 2. Like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Will they cross over? And then we're also going to talk about the 3DS. Is actually like a decent deal for the next couple days. And then the topic for the week is an interesting one that actually Rob inspired with a tweet. Metroid turns 25 in this month, and Metroid has had a rough few years, so to speak. So she's had a fall from grace. So we're going to talk about Metroid, and we're going to talk about what the hell happened to Metroid and a once proud franchise. So first of all, let's kick it off with a little bit of StarCraft 2. JD.
Yo. Yes.
Our favorite JD, who's big into StarCraft, and hopefully I'll be someday big into StarCraft. I'll grow up and be big into StarCraft, just like JD. Hey, what's the haps with StarCraft 2 in the last week or so?
Sure. So basically there's three different, what they're calling the BattleNet Invitationals. What this is they're invitational matches for eight different players. In particular for StarCraft. Now, there's also a World of Warcraft event along with it as well, but I don't care about that. So, the last weekend was the EU BattleNet Invitational, so eight players from the EU invited by Blizzard to play against each other. The top two players out of that are get automatic invitations to BlizzCon, which will be in a couple months. Going on right now is the Latin American BattleNet Invitational that was today, and then the finals will be tomorrow. And then this weekend, I believe Saturday and Sunday will be the U.S. So for the U.S. players, that'll be this weekend. Now, all of these matches, you can see recaps, replays of over at Blizzard's website for that, which is us.battle.net. There's recaps of most of the matches. Some of them even have downloads. One of the cool features of StarCraft 2 and StarCraft 1 as well is that you can actually download replays. So they have most of the replays available for all those EU matches. They're not up yet for the Latin American ones. I hope they will be. But to quickly recap the events themselves, the StarCraft 2 EU Battle.net event, started to watch that. It was really interesting. Nanny, who is from Switzerland, I believe, was one of the favorites early going in. He actually was surprisingly eliminated in the second round by Rhett. Nanny is a Protoss player. Rhett is a Zerg player. Was eliminated by Rhett in the second round. He dropped down to the consolation bracket. It's a double elimination event, so you have to lose in the champion bracket and then lose in the consolation bracket before you're completely out. And then the way it goes is the winner of the consolation bracket will play the winner of the champion bracket, and then they have to actually win the losing the out of the, if you're out of the consolation bracket, you have to actually win two full rounds in order to win. But if you lose one round, you're out. So It actually went all the way down to Nanny winning the consolation bracket, and Nanny took the Rhett took the championship bracket. So they had to play each other again for the finals, but Rhett took it 2-0 and won. So both of those players, however, will be going on to the BlizzCon championships. I didn't get to watch any of the Latin American battles matches. Those will be on at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So I guess you're not watching live, but if you're fortunate enough to watch those, you can check those out again as well. And like I said, hopefully there'll be replays up for those. But if you're interested in the EU matches, there are several not only commentary versions of those, but you can download a lot of the replays as well if you have StarCraft II and you can watch those replays. So that's
so
it.
Is StarCraft II big in Latin America, bigger than anywhere else in particular? I mean, other than Korea in here, but is it big in Latin America?
That, no. I mean, to be honest, I don't know one way or the other. I know, it's pretty big in the U.S. I know for the EU match, it was in Poland. The Invitational was this year. They had a really big turnout for that. But like I said, it's a combo deal. They have both. Out of World of Warcraft, there's what are called arena matches, and there's three-man arena teams. And so they're playing each other as well for the spots at BlizzCon. So, you know, of course, World of Warcraft is still pretty big worldwide. So you see a lot of following for that. But as far as StarCraft in Latin America, that I'm not sure of. But I would assume it was. I mean, it's one of those deals that has a decent following and pro market pretty much in any area. And I know that they're... but like I said, it's probably not as big as the EU, because I know that they just came out with linked matches out of the U.S. and Latin America. So you can actually... play U.S. players can play Latin American players in the ladders matches and things like that. So,
hey, one last question for you. Jumping to World of Warcraft.
Sure.
Okay, so World of Warcraft dropped 500,000 subscribers in May following the aftermath of the Cataclysm expansion. Mm-hmm. And after that, from a high of 12 million worldwide subscribers, it's dropped to 11.4, which is pretty good. I mean, it's a pretty sizable loss. Now it's dipped even further to just over 11 million. So do you have any, like, thoughts? Do you think World of Warcraft, as, I mean, somebody who kind of played it, I assume, you know, for a while, is this a game that is kind of, like, peaking? Is it past its prime? I mean, are you surprised by this kind of decline in subscribers? Or does this feel like it's kind of, like, a expected?
I wouldn't say I'm terribly surprised. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that are going to go into that. And one of the points I think the story makes, which is that the Cataclysm expansion only had 5 levels versus 10. I kind of think that's a minor point. Because really, your bulk players, your power gamers, they're going to turn through those 5 levels really fast anyway. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time to get through those 5 levels, if you're a consistent player. I know that I think there has been a little bit of delay between, like, the content expansions. The way that Blizzard has been doing these expansions is they come out with the expansion pack, and then periodically they release large patches to those packs that open up new content within that patch and open up new aspects of the story. But really, it's not uncommon for any MMO to really have a certain lifespan. Players get familiar with the system, familiar with the content, really just kind of get bored with it, I guess. The difference with this expansion is that it didn't add, you know, with an expansion, say, like Burning Crusade, or even with the one before that. I can't remember the name of it. But those expansions actually released entirely new zones. So an entirely new continent or an entirely new planet, really, to explore. Whereas this made alterations to the existing environments and really only added a few small zones. So I think that from a player standpoint, some of the problem had been that it just didn't have enough. It wasn't a robust enough from a content sort of exploration standpoint to keep people interested. I also think the economic downturn worldwide has probably had an impact. You know, the Euro markets in particular have been hit really hard. The Japanese markets have been hit really hard since the earthquake. So, you know, some of this may be attributed to people just not having the money to pay for it month after month. And if the content isn't strong enough, they're not going to stay with it. So I'm not terribly surprised. I think that Blizzard has a, you know, it has a little bit of an uphill climb. I mean, there's a lot of hype that's coming out around BioWare's Star Wars release. You know, I think they're going to see some drop off from that. But really, I mean, World of Warcraft is so big. It is so massive that, you know, a drop of a million players, you know, overall is not I wouldn't be terrified, especially considering.
And it's something they can certainly get back. That's what you're saying.
It goes in ebbs and flows. If they release a really big, you know, content, expansion next, they'll get a lot of that back. So
That's interesting to know that, like, because that it's like, oh, okay, well, I already finished pretty much what Cataclysm has to offer. I'm gonna just gonna chill for a while. It's kind of interesting to.
Yeah, and that, it is kind of the deal. I mean, with a lot of these MMOs, as long as the servers are up, you know, people come back. The first MMO that I played going back to like 2000, 2001 was Dark Ages of Camelot. Those servers are still open. They haven't released new content for that in 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. But those servers are still open. They'll still take your money month after month if you want to play. So, that's the way a lot of these will, you know, a lot of these go. You still have to give it to Blizzard. I mean, they've made a solid game. They've made one of the most successful MMOs to date. 12 million to 11 million is nothing to scoff at. That's a lot of players. Mm. That's a lot of money. So,
cool. All right. Good insight. Hey, speaking of millions, a little cap on our story about Evo. From last week, the World Fighting Game Tournaments, they had over 2 million unique viewers tune in. So breaking records, smashing records. A couple of quick fighting game notes here. So if you're planning on playing in, 2015, Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter, good luck, buddy. It ain't happening. The producer of Street Fighter has shot down ideas that Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat will ever happen because he had the quite sensible comment that having Chun-Li getting her spine ripped out or Ryu's head bouncing off the floor, it doesn't necessarily match Street Fighter. I don't think we can argue with that. Here's something that we can all talk about. Mortal Kombat Legacy. Mortal Kombat Legacy. Yay. It comes to Blu-ray, so if you want to pay $20 for this masterpiece, you can.
Yay.
In November, I believe. Here are some of the extras, and guys, let's reminisce for a second after this on Mortal Kombat Legacy. So the extras, you will get a Mortal Kombat Legacy Fights, which is a look at the role fatalities and hyperviolence play in Mortal Kombat storytelling. okay, and then Mortal Kombat Legacy Fan-Made, which is an extra that goes inside the mind of Mortal Kombat superfan, the director of Mortal Kombat Legacy, that superfan, uncovering his passion and vision that brought Mortal Kombat Legacy to life. Then you also get
LSD.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hard drugs, liquor. Very nice. Something out of the back of a van, possibly. You also get a documentary that brings the Mortal Kombat universe to life. No details there. Mortal Kombat mysticism, discover the powers that define the characters.
The documentary will only last, each chapter only lasts like 30 seconds.
Multi-chapter documentary. And then the last one is Mortal Kombat gear, explore all the weapons that make Mortal Kombat fighting unique. Okay, so with that in mind, so we get all these extras. Would you pay $20 for what amounts to, I'm going to say, like 30 minutes of content? And it's a web series. I mean, is this enough to... Would you buy Mortal Kombat Legacy? First of all, would you pay money based on what you've seen out of these 9 episodes from Mortal Kombat Legacy?
Well, that depends. Has episode 9 gone up on YouTube yet?
Yeah, it was Cyrax and Sektor. That was like the season finale.
Yeah.
Two cyber ninjas. So... Which was actually, I guess, in a good way, it was like, it was the most risky episode because it's got cyber ninjas, but it was like shockingly not embarrassing. It was actually fairly good, fairly well done.
Well, crap, if I knew it had gone up, I would have watched it at some point.
Oh, yeah. It's been up for a couple weeks, so.
I feel like I spent enough time, like, I barely wanted to spend enough time to actually watch the series online, so I'm not too sure why I would actually spend money and spend time watching the series on a disc. Mm.
On the other hand, it's in Blu-ray, so if you got a really nice HD TV, you could totally be watching that on your nice expensive TV in, you know, 1080.
That's true. Because YouTube isn't like HD. Well, in some cases, YouTube's HD, but this series didn't seem like it was HD.
I think it was.
It sure just didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't come across, it didn't feel like HD.
Did you select HD when you watched it?
That could be my problem.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I watched it in HD, I think, a few of the episodes anyway.
Yeah. Did it look okay? Did it look good in HD, I assume? I assume it looked decent. Yeah.
I don't hardly watch anything online unless it's HD or unless it's YouTube, and I have to watch it that way.
I hear you. I hear you.
I don't know. No, I wouldn't.
Okay. Nice. Hey, before we go to break, I need to talk to you guys about the 3DS. So the 3DS is now $170 right now at Target and Walmart, which means if you go out and buy it, you still got a couple days to cash in on the 20 free games for early adopters. So you're going to get 10 NES games, 10 Game Boy Advance games, all for $170, and a 3DS, like I said. Is it okay? So once and for all, this is as good as the deal. This is the best deal you're going to get probably for a 3DS, probably for the whole year or the next, like, I don't know, 18 months or something like that. Are you tempted?
No.
Little bit, but not at the moment. I'm not probably not affording it at the moment. So,
God, yeah, I know. 20 free games sounds good. Do we? I don't know.
Is it a particular games?
The only
there's a list.
There's a list of what you're going to get.
Keep talking.
The only one I had seen on announced on Nintendo's Twitter was Metroid Fusion. Don't want to get too deeply into what will be the main discussion topic for the day, but that seems to have been the only reference to Metroid's 25th anniversary to come out of Nintendo so far.
Oh snap. Yeah. Let's see here. Well, I got a partial list here, and Peter, keep looking if you want, but let's see here. So the games include, let me see, Super Mario Brothers 1, Donkey Kong Jr., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, The Legend of Zelda. Okay. Let's see here. Super Mario Brothers Advance 3, Yoshi's Island, so Yoshi's Island. Hmm. Mario Kart. Let's see here. Metroid Fusion, WarioWare, Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Pokemon?
Sort of. Which one were you asking for?
Any Pokemon?
I doubt it, dude.
Damn.
That's a
okay,
no.
Well, never mind then.
Pass.
That's a no. Out. Yeah. Fail.
But it's an amazing coincidence that Walmart and Target both decided to go ahead and roll the price back while there was a 20 free game incentive still available, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That can't be any kind of just coincidence, can it?
Oh, no.
Could you ever foresee a day where they're essentially like trying to give, I wouldn't say give away, but I mean they are like, they're bending over backwards to sell a Game Boy, and it's not really working. That's kind of bizarre, isn't it? Who would have thought that was going to happen? I mean, is that a testament? Well, you know what I mean. So,
I mean,
yes, the Virtual Boy. Well,
you know,
I mean,
every once in a while, they're going to make a Virtual Boy, you know?
That's true.
This is their Virtual Boy.
Nobody has a 100% record.
That's true. And it's funny how quickly your luck can change, right?
Well, and you know, the thing too, I think Nintendo was expecting to launch the 3DS and have it immediately move into the high point of the DS's sales life.
Yes.
Which, that was never going to happen to begin with. It just wasn't.
You're right. They're probably betting way too. They're betting the farm on this, especially considering like the Wii is more or less done. We're still waiting for the Wii U. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually an interesting list on I believe it was Game Informer, actually. They listed like maybe like 10 games for the next year and a half that are actually notable for the Wii. Which
Yeah, I mean, the Wii's dead.
Yeah, yeah, which is what they were saying. They were like, it's just swan song, pretty much, and these are the games that you should be looking for.
It's just like the end of the GameCube's life cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing came out. It was like a dearth. Right. It was just nothing. It was just, I mean...
And the whole GameCube thing was kind of sad, actually.
Yeah. The only thing you can really hope for are first-party titles, like Skyward Sword and Kirby's Return to Dreamland, pretty much.
I just like the idea of Kirby being your savior.
Actually, Kirby wasn't a joke. I was actually interested. Although,
oh no, Kirby's a good game. It's just the idea of Kirby being, you know, It's like, but you know, but we have a strategic plan. The next PowerPoint slide is just Kirby.
Kirby
just staying. Good times. Good times. Poor Nintendo. Send get well cards to Nintendo. When we come back, we're going to go to commercial, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the PSP Vita, so another handheld, Duke Nukem, and then we'll get into our big conversation of the week, Metroid. What the hell happened to Metroid? So, we'll be back.
A man has a choice. I chose the impossible. I built a city where the artist would not fear the censor, where the great would not be constrained by the small, where the scientist would not be bound by petty morality. I chose to build Rapture. But my city was betrayed by the weak. So I ask you, my friend, if your life were the prize, would you kill the innocent? Would you sacrifice your humanity? We all make choices, but in the end, our choices make us.
Is there a primer I should be watching or what? Like, or playing or?
Nah. No, no. Are we back? All right. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so let's talk about the PSP Vita real quick. The PSP Vita will miss the holiday season. Sad trombone. But the good news is you will have ample chances to throw down $250 or $300 for the PSP Vita in 2012. And if you're a fighting game fan, you're in luck because it's going to get Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Impressive. We don't know if it's going to be the current version of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 or the ultimate version, but they haven't committed one way or another. So there's still hope that it'll be the ultimate version. Guys, Duke Nukem made money, and that is an affront to God and country. Despite,
yes!
Despite its disappointing reviews.
Well, I mean, this has to be from pre-order sales.
Yes. Well, the pre-orders were insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were out of control. Let's see here. So, yes. To say the least, Duke Nukem got disappointing reviews. But yeah. It earned, at the end of the day, it earned a number two spot on its month of release on the sales charts. So it did pull in money. What can we do? What world do we live in when Duke Nukem makes money? I don't know.
I'm happy to live in that world.
If it makes money,
yeah, JD will take it, good and bad. This is the bad, my friend. This is the bad. Yeah, so, the other thing is, lucky for us, they have promised us more Duke Nukem content, obviously. Thank you. Thank you.
I have not actually played this game, but I want it really bad.
Really?
Wow. Really?
I loved the original Duke Nukem.
You know you should do.
Oh, that's what they're banking on.
Put it out on put it out on Twitter or something. Say, hey, anybody who doesn't want their copy, send it over to me.
Yeah, just send it to me.
You probably get like 15, 20, 30.
Some of them are burned. Half of them are bent. That'd be awesome.
Your coffee table can do with one less coaster. I'd like to try that.
That's right. That's actually a good tactic. So, yeah, we're going to get on Twitter after the show and just ask for games that we want. If you got a spare, like Street Fighter Turbo from SNES. Anyway, okay. So, yes, Duke Nukem. My God, people. My God. Brings us to the topic. Also an affront to God and country, Metroid turns 25 this month. We are old, gentlemen. We are old. Metroid, 25 years ago, about 24 years ago, if you want to be exact, was certainly one of the golden franchises in video games. Everybody loved Metroid, and then certainly when Super Metroid came out for the Super Nintendo, it could do no wrong. It was hailed as one of the great games of its time, one of the great games ever to that point. Well, since then, Metroid has had a rough ride, and so I want to talk to you guys about where Metroid went wrong, what the hell happened to Metroid, to the point where Metroid's turning 25 and we don't really have any signs of like celebration by Nintendo or the makers of Metroid. So, hey Rob, this all started, this topic was inspired by a tweet from you. So do you want to like give some initial thoughts on this topic and like what happened to Metroid?
Okay, well, as far as I can tell, as far as I'm concerned, what happened to Metroid is Metroid Other M, which was not received well because of a great many changes made to Samus as a character. And I think that from my perspective, the problem here is that Metroid was a big hit here. Metroid has actually never been a major hit in Japan from the very beginning. So I think what we have is a case of, since the Home Office never really quite understood what a great thing they had on their hands, they kept pecking at it and tweaking it until they managed to come up with something that nobody liked, and now they're just done with it.
Interesting. Hey, do you have any thoughts on why it wasn't popular in Japan?
You know, I really don't know. I don't understand it.
Who can understand the Japanese anyway?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy talk.
Yeah, it really is a mystery. I mean, of course, I'm equally mystified as to why you know, things like Dragon Warrior never really took off here to the degree they did in Japan either. Mm-hmm. So, because I happen to like both, I guess I'm the minority. But I've never really read a good explanation as to why that was. I mean, in Japan, Metroid was for the Famicom disk system as opposed to the regular Famicom. So that, you know, as with all peripherals, I'm sure that cut down on the potential size of the audience. But after that, there's still Super Metroid and the Game Boy games, which got a pretty broad release there as well as here. So I don't get it.
And it's weird because now, I mean, well, first of all, guys, like, how much experience do you guys have with Metroid yourself? So did you guys play the original or Super Metroid? You know, I mean, what have you guys played?
I played crap.
I played the first Metroid, which, I don't know.
It wasn't, like, particularly notable to you?
I mean, it was an interesting game. It took me a while. It was one of the first, I think, Nintendo games I actually beat. I beat it maybe just like right after I beat Mario Brothers. I suck at video games, by the way. just a note. But that makes me, you know, I mean, I'm sort of fond of it, you know, in terms of that. But I don't think I've ever played any of the subsequent games. But looking at this release schedule, I wonder, is it like oversaturation that killed it? Or, I mean, maybe it's like,
you know, I have like a theory, at least on one of the failings of the game, and that was the way it switched what type of game you were playing. So it wasn't. So the first game was essentially a side scroller, you know, platform jumper, call it whatever you want. But along the lines, it's been a first person shooter. It's been kind of a weird hybrid. And then it's also been, just like the original, kind of platform jumpers. I don't think you can expect to treat a franchise like that and have success. You can't just, like, literally keep the name but change the way the game is played.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you stay consistent, like they also, did with Zelda kind of thing.
And also, the original Metroid, you know, ended with a twist. You know, yes. You get all the way through Metroid, and you're like, "Oh, she's a chick! Awesome!"
I didn't know Metroid was French.
Yeah.
Yes. And that trick only works once.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, yeah. It's like once you've seen Sixth Sense, you know, it's not really the same movie over and over again. You know,
that's right. Interesting.
No, I have only had. Experience with the first-person shooter version.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that wasn't really good games.
Yeah, Metroid Primes were pretty good, right?
I thought they were decent. I only have the first of the three, but I enjoyed it more than I expected to when I heard they're making Metroid into a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's definitely like a different, like, you know, look at it, you know? It's like there's a puzzle solving type idea. So,
yeah, I think they managed to keep a lot of what makes Metroid enjoyable in the Prime series, probably more than they did in Other M, which, you know, was trying to, as you said, trying to bring the two parts of the franchise together and wound up pleasing nobody.
So, but, you said, like the way Other M treated Samus was particularly, I guess, egregious, maybe.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Okay, well, the two major complaints I have heard, because in all honesty, much as I love Metroid, I never got Other M. But I read up on it extensively, which is why. The two biggest complaints I've seen is that, okay, there's the problem that in every game Samus collects a number of power-ups, and then when you get to the next game, how do you justify the fact that she no longer has them? Other M's justification is that she has them all, but even though her life is in danger at a great many points where it could be saved by her using them, she has to prove to her old commanding officer that she is now a responsible person. She is not using them until she is told she can use them, until she gets authorization. So even though Samus could rip through this crap without even thinking about it, she will not do so until some dude says it's okay.
Really, sounds like a job lame. For the game genie.
That's horribly, horribly lame.
I thought I also was that she was like, she was just like a big brat, like in the game, you know, like from the from what I've been reading was that, like, in some of the reviews, that it was characteristically not, it was just not Samus.
That is it exactly. The other complaint that I read, and this is the one that goes more to the heart of it, is that at one point in the game, she encounters Ridley, who has been a boss in almost every Metroid game. Ridley, in the current version of the backstory, Ridley killed Samus's parents. And Samus has fought and defeated Ridley in, like I said, almost every single game, and Other M takes place, I believe, just after Super Metroid. So that's at least two major sets of encounters with Ridley, not counting the Prime series, and she reaches the point in which she sees Ridley and freaks the hell out. And some random guy has to come save her.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
she's no longer like the tough chick or like the strong exactly. character.
Okay, so this was a Japanese developed Metroid game then.
Right on.
Oh, well, surprising.
How did I ever guess that?
wait. But wasn't the original Metroid a Japanese game?
It was, and the producer is the same person, but I don't know where this comes from, to be honest. Yeah, Team Ninja, the producers of Dead and Alive, Dead or Alive, were the co-producers of Metroid Other M.
Corporate meddling, yay.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes. That has been the assumption to a lot of people.
Well,
I don't.
They also did a Ninja Gaiden series, so.
Yeah, I've never actually played any of the modern Ninja Gaiden.
Don't please don't. One You'll is okay. Insane. Two, no, don't do it.
Okay.
You'll go insane. I don't even know if one's so, okay.
They actually do cheat.
So am I not missing out on much then by having played and beat the original? And
yeah, Super Metroid is one of the best games I've
ever missed out on. Super Metroid. Can I get that on Wii?
I believe it is available for Virtual Console. Yes.
Okay, so I can get that and then I'll be good, right? Okay.
Yeah, the Virtual Console is the best thing the Wii ever did, isn't it?
That's all it's really good for. That's all I use it for. I put in like some of the sports games, and I was like, "Oh, this is tiring and sucks. I need to play a real video game."
I would say
play Dr. Mario.
God, I almost broke a sweat playing a video game. This is entirely wrong.
I would say that actually, Fusion and Zero Mission for the Game Boy Advance are also pretty good. They are much. Zero Mission is a remake of the original, but it's done in a style much more like Fusion, which is a good bit more linear, tries to have more of a narrative and a story. And, you know, some of the characters and concepts that eventually came to a head in Other M started out in Fusion, but they're used to better effect there. But those are Fusion and Zero Mission are both pretty damn good games. I would recommend them, especially if you still have a DS old enough that it plays Game Boy Advance games. They're worth it. Or if you're getting the, you know, if you're getting it as the early adopter consolation prize for getting a 3DS.
I don't have a D nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, Game Boy Advance SPs aren't that much anymore, and that's really one of my favorite portables ever. So.
Oh, the Game Boy Advance is so good. So good. The SP.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I have the NES Colors SP, and it is one of the my favorite purchases.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, on that note, good discussion, guys. I think we did Metroid justice, unlike the actual game makers the last 10 years. So sad. Oh, snap. Right,
next time we can talk about Mega Man.
Next time. Who's that guy? another one so sad. So I think that'll do it for New Soundwave 92. We will see you next week. Thank you always for watching and listening and such. So for the crew, I'm John DeLuna for XV. for Rob, new Rob, for JD, for Peter, AKK, Cape Weebum. We will see you next week.
2-1-0 Game over.
Mother. You're alive. Too bad. You will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net.